secretariat will be requesting link. It looked like it didn't receive the link, would be requesting the link and joining us.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Yeah. Honorable members, we are about to start our meeting. Welcome to the Portfolio Committee of Police. Honorable Minister, you are welcome with your team. Honorable Whitfield has sent an apology to say that he has problems with his bandwidth issues. So he'll be joining us through audio, but his video is not working. Honorable members, this meeting is live. So could you ensure that when you do speak, that your video camera is on? In the meantime, could I request honorable members that we do deal with the appointment or non-appointment of the IPERS executive director, and that we then manage the adoption of the report after we have dealt with the IPERS. The minister has left the prior meeting at and that's important, and he's joined us, and we respect the fact that he has joined us, because we would not have been able to address this matter without the minister. But the minister is expected at the Union Buildings at 11. So I would like us to continue with or start with the appointment of the ICT. We do have a quorum. Good morning and welcome, honorable members. Honorable members, do you agree that I do start with the appointment of the ICT?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Honorable Minister, we do not have any further introduction. You are welcome to introduce the matter. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I hope I'm well audible.
Yes, Minister.
No, thanks. Chairperson, the process of this appointment has been quite tedious and long. We have tried to firstly fall within the 12 months as prescribed by the law. It couldn't happen. We had serious attempts to deal with the matter. We would have started by advertising well within the period, though I would not remember exact dates, within the period. And as we look at the quality of people that have applied, we couldn't find that we can find the candidate to fill this position. We had a second bite on the advert, and on that one, we shortlisted, and we interviewed, and we couldn't find the candidate. That was still within the period, but towards the end of the period. That interview was done by the Minister Stellandabeni Abrahams, Minister Lamola, Deputy Minister Matale, and the head of the Secretariat, Mr. Rabia. And on that one, we did interview. We shortlisted interview. We couldn't find the candidate, because at that time it was at the tail end of the 12th prescribed month. We wrote the letter to the speaker requesting that we got an extension, but also because we have tried, I think twice, we went to the process of headhunting, which is allowed, but also which has its own processes. The process of the of headhunting. So the secretariat moved on, and we found the company called Ultimate Recruit Solutions, URS, that was going to find the candidates as the way of headhunting. That process continued after we've requested the extension on the Office of the Speaker, which was the letter written on April 2020 in the Office of the Speaker. So the process started, and then I think I have a document here, which I think everybody has it, the document that the 24 people were approached or were invited by the URS, the Ultimate Recruit Solution, to be part of the headhunting. And indeed, that was shortlisted by themselves, and we found five candidates out of those candidates, which happened to be Mr. Solomon Maila, Miss Connie Moise, Mr. Manye Morocco, Miss Jennifer Chansing, and Dr. Mike Masipiado. And they handed those to us, and we invited the head of this recruitment company to come and make the presentation on these five names that they have shortlisted. The same team that had shortlisted and did not find the candidate before of Minister Lamola, Minister Ndabeni, Deputy Minister Matale, Rabia Ntele, they sat down to shortlist again. We shortlisted three this time, and the people that we shortlisted was Miss Jennifer Sanseng, Mr. Solomon Maile, and Dr. Mike Masiapo. And we checked their qualification, we checked their CV, but remember, as we checked them, they've been already checked by this independent company. That's why they were regarded as people that could have been shortlisted. And we were also satisfied ourselves with that, that the listed people were supposed to have the NQ7 and more than that if they could. And indeed, after shortlisting, they were interviewed, and then we had the criteria of interviewing them was candidates were given a technical exercise to prepare for the hour and present it to the panel, outlining the challenges that IPED face and the strategy to deal with such challenges and how they would implement the strategy. They were also required to outline the financial constraints in the country and how they would ensure service delivery amidst of the constraints, as well as how they would effectively deal with low morale of employees while also ensuring improved performance and achieving all targets. B, a candidate would demonstrate an in-depth knowledge of the criminal justice system, the legislative framework, and the public service policy on the relationship to the IPC, a candidate who would efficiently and effectively ensure the management of the investigation and complaints and the impact of the police service conduct. D, a candidate who understands the work of IPED and can identify a work with the key strategic stakeholders, clearly outlining the role and the roles and responsibilities as well as the impact of the participation. E, a candidate who has specific and unique qualities over others in terms of the post of executive director of the IPED and the distinctive role that she or he will play that will make a difference. Number nine, on the three candidates who were interviewed, Ms. Jennifer Ikeleki Hlaseng was unanimously nominated by the panel as the best candidate whose name should be submitted to the parliament for consideration. Below is a summary of the nominated candidates and the CV attached of those. After that, so I think the document is in the hands of the members that will be explaining how we finally, as I'm saying, unanimously, almost every member of the panel agreed that Ms. Hlaseng was the best candidate. It was on the score after we have agreed, wrote the letter to the Speaker of Parliament and submitting these processes and the name that has been nominated to the Speaker so that the Speaker can take the processes forward. And in the end, again, we have the CV, full CV of Ms. Jennifer Tikeleti Hlaseng. We have the verification of the qualifications in the hand, which have been verified to be correct. So up to this point, that is the process that we have followed, and we have sent the fingerprints of everybody to the criminal record so that we find out if these people don't have, we have not received the response whether they are or not, which would be the preliminary stage before we will then find the final vetting of the candidate. There where we are, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, with this process and the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member, and thank you very much, Honorable Minister. The Deputy Minister has also joined us. Welcome, Deputy Minister. Welcome, Dr. Kinnabal. Honorable Member, just to give you the background, we sent you a well-net box, a research paper highlighting and providing us with a chronological sequence of events. We looked at the events as it pertains to the previous affidavit, the legal judgment, related and pertaining to the McBride matter. We looked at the act as it prescribes the appointment of the affidavit. The affidavit categorically states that an affidavit must be appointed within 1 year of the end of the contract of the previous incumbent. The minister must nominate a suitably qualified candidate. This is section 6, the appointment of an executive director. And this must be presented to the speaker. The minister presented all the documents of this appointment to the speaker. It was very transparent, all the documents, the shortlisting, the candidates, the CVs of the candidates, and that was presented to the speaker. We have 30 days within which 30 working, parliamentary working days from the time of nomination in terms of subsection 1 to confirm or reject the nomination. However, the Act says that in case of a vacancy, the minister must fill the vacancy within a reasonable period of time, which period must not exceed 1 year. Honorable members, we have exceeded the period of 1 year, and that creates a conundrum as to we have to do that before we continue to the face of the appointment of the item. Honorable Whitfield has indicated that we would like to ask the question to the minister. But once I have put the matter into context, I'll allow all the ministry members to ask questions because this is quite a serious matter. concrete status that it had to appoint an advocate within the period of 1 year. We were unable to do that, and a vacuum arose. Because of this vacuum, we either had to leave the advocate without a vacuum, or we had to allow an acting group to continue. So we were doomed if we appointed and we extended the acting group because we could not appoint in time, and we were doomed if we did not continue with an acting group because IPED did not function without it. The Act does not prescribe what happens if a head is not appointed in time. So this vacuum was then created, this conundrum, and I think we have to address this. The minister wrote to the speaker indicating that they had interviewed and they had not found a suitable candidate. The speaker indicated that, yes, the Act will be appointed in a year, but failure of which he then referred the matter to the committee, the Portfolio Committee on Police. The Portfolio Committee on Police deliberated on the matter, and I gave you the exact day when the deputy minister came, when the minister came. So there definitely was a willingness on the side of the minister to support him. However, that willingness did not produce a result. And because we were respected, we had to appoint an acting. The law did not tell us what to do. The law said we had to appoint within a year. But the situation which we found ourselves in compelled us to have an acting. And we could not. When we look at the COSA matter or the COSA judgment as we discussed, on the 15th of May, the High Court of South Africa, the Gauteng Division, judged for breaches on the COSA matter, noted the inadequacy of existing investigative mechanisms in ICE. The judge continued and noted that it was a serious concern that ICE, at present in his words, does not even have a permanent executive director for the duration of the lockdown who could act independently as was required by the court in the McBride versus the Minister matter. Now, the Constitutional Court found that certain provisions in the IPED Act were unconstitutional. The amendment of the IPED Act was there to allow for firing of the IPED, and that amendment was extended to by the President. Judge Verbriefe states that the court order ordered Parliament to cure the defect in legislation within 24 months. Now, since then, about 44 months later, Parliament has still not amended the IPED. We have had this debate in the committee, and we had a commitment from the minister that there would be an amendment, a full-scale amendment to the IPED Act. The IPED Act this time cannot just be amended for the appointment of the executive director, because the IPED Act does not cover the functioning of the Metro Police, the city police, or traffic officials or traffic department. We saw this in the incident in the city of Cape Town, where unfortunately a man was naked, was dragged out of the informal settlement, and the committee has requested that the city of Cape Town and the province does report to us on this. So, if we want to wait, and Honorable Whitfield, that we wait until address the matter whether IFAD should remain without, firstly, a permanent head until the act is amended. It could take us more than a year to amend, totally amend the IFAD Act. If we wait until the amendment of the IFAD Act, IFAD will be without a head because legally we would not be able to extend the acting person's period of term of office. We have this difficulty that if we do not appoint the IFAD head, we fall outside of the law. If we do appoint the IFAD head, we get legal and we sought legal advice on all matters. There isn't a single legal argument or advice which tells us what to do if we fail to appoint within 1 year. The matter has been sent to the Portfolio Committee, referred to the Portfolio Committee, and the Portfolio Committee is being requested to resolve this matter. The argument further is that during this period of COVID-19, with all the cases that we have referred to IFAD, it is impossible and it would really be it would be irresponsible of the committee not to have an IFAD whilst we are having so many cases referred to IFAD. Honourable members, I am not a lawyer. That is not my legal assessment. That is just based on the documents which we have. We have produced those documents. We received documents from the Henry Sussman Foundation, we received letters from Honorable Whitfield, we have received letters from Corruption Watch, and a number of other institutions which we have considered. I'll now allow members to indicate the readiness to speak, to contribute, to ask the minister questions. I have Honorable Whitfield as the first speaker. Honorable Whitfield, and then I'll take more. Before you speak, Honorable Whitfield, I'll take more hands. Honorable Whitfield is on audio. Honorable members, you have an opportunity to raise your hand.
Sir Blanche?
Could you do so in so that you can see?
Shaky Mom.
On Groenewald, chair.
Yes?
Shaky Mom. Mokukenche?
Yes.
Sir Blanche?
Shimbeni?
Who are you? Honorable members? Yes, I do have
Majozi. Do you have Kuruna
Chairperson? Honorable members, I'll start with
Pastor
Chair. I do have. Your name will appear on my screen as well. Honourable members, I'll start with the rest. Could you just indicate on the screen if you would like to continue? I'll start with Honourable Whitfield, then Blanche, and then Shaky Mum, in that order. Honourable Whitfield?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the Minister for his presentation. Chairperson, I'm extremely disappointed that the Minister was allowed to proceed with his presentation, given the overwhelming information that the process appears to be flawed. And I say that, I've set it out in my letter to the committee, we've debated this, it has been repeatedly raised by myself and many colleagues on the committee that there are concerns. And I would like to direct your attention, Chairperson, to the legal opinion which was solicited by yourself and was sent to the committee on the 11th of June, where it actually says that the section does not clothe Parliament with the power to extend the period. Now, Chairperson, this committee has extended, erroneously in my view, the provision for the minister to nominate an IFAD head twice. The first time it was extended, I cautioned against it, and we were told that we would be provided with comprehensive information by the deputy minister regarding the process, the selection process, which was conducted earlier this year. We never received that information, and therefore the committee could not conduct its oversight responsibility, nor could it hold the executive to account. We now have the minister presenting a timeline of failure to nominate, a timeline of complete and utter failure and disregard for the law, where there is no provision for this committee to extend the nomination. We are now putting the committee in a very precarious situation, Chairperson. And I note that you say we have failed, that the minister has failed. It was the minister's job to bring a nominee to this committee before 12 months was up. He had 12 months to nominate somebody and to run a process, and the executive has failed. This committee cannot simply rubber stamp the minister's nominee without considering the very serious legal implications. And that's where I want to thank you, Chair, especially for including the letter from the Speaker, because it appears in the Minister's remarks that he's under the impression that he was granted an extension by the Speaker. And that's simply not true. The Speaker says that she may not, that the wording of this particular provision of legislation in Section 6.5 of the IFID Act is very specific and does not allow for any extension to be granted, even by Parliament. This committee is Parliament. Chairperson, we are members of Parliament. We may not extend the period for the minister to nominate. Chairperson, I have made it repeatedly clear on a number of occasions that I'm really sorry that this committee now finds itself in a situation where it must make a decision which appears to have already been made. And I can tell you now, Chairperson, that this committee is being placed in a really difficult position legally. And I do not believe that we have the authority, whether you want to or not, whether we do not have the authority to proceed with the appointment of the minister's nominee. The process is fatally flawed and will be challenged. We've seen that in the letters from Corruption Watch. We've seen Helen Suzman Foundation's letters. We need to be very cautious here, Chairperson, to protect the committee and Parliament and to ensure that we amend the Act in order to deal with these inconsistencies so that we can make sure that the appointment is beyond reproach. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Whitfield. The next speaker is Honourable Sablanche and Honourable Sinova.
Chairperson, thank you. I am echoing what my colleague said. He covered me well. And I just want to emphasize also from my side that, you know, the minister failed dismally so. And, you know, we raised this on numerous occasions. And, you know, yet they told us in the previous meeting that they cannot run a process again, you know, advertising stuff like that. And, you know, the service provider that they appointed did exactly that. Also, you know, advertise, blah, blah, blah. But I don't want to discuss it now. The process is flawed, Chairperson. We need to deal with the legal issues, and we can obviously not continue with the appointment of the minister's nominee. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable
Sinova. Thank you, Chair. Chair, we are here in a situation of a catch-22 situation, if I can use that phrase. Now, firstly, I want to say that I would have thought that at least we would have also received a legal opinion from Parliament on the Helen Suzman case, where they are taking the matter on appeal. I have my own opinion on that, but that is not what it is about now. I would have liked to have a legal opinion from Parliament to state to us what our position as Portfolio Committee is, seeing that there is an appeal from the Helen Suzman Foundation. It makes it a bit different in the sense that there was an agreement between the Honourable Minister and McBride that was made a order of the court. So that is one matter. The fact of the matter is also that, as the other honourable members have mentioned, we are already out of our time frames. And then the question is, if we are out of our time frames, do we still have to ensure that we do an appointment immediately? Because we are already out of the time frame. Or should we ensure that there is a more thorough process? As far as I'm concerned, we as a committee can make decisions to say what we want to discuss before we make a recommendation on a nominee. I don't necessarily see that we will have to amend the Act immediately to determine our internal process here in the committee to ensure that there is, for instance, that the criteria that we as a committee want to use to make an appointment. You will remember last year, we were confronted with only one name. I said in the committee, that's not acceptable. We said that we want more names. Yes, I saw the letter from the minister and what the minister has said. But the fact of the matter is that we as a committee, we have to make a recommendation. And we as a committee can say, listen, if we want to make a recommendation on the name submitted, we are going to follow the following process. My question is, I think that, or let me say that, and that we should also have clarity from the legal advisors, I don't necessarily see that if the committee in itself determine a specific criteria which the committee wants to follow, that we will have to wait for an amendment of the Act. Yes, we can still continue with the amendment of the Act to ensure that in future we have a proper process. But two things then, Chairperson, as a summary. Firstly, I would like to have a legal opinion on the Helen Suzman Foundation's appeal. Secondly, I'd also like to have a legal opinion from the Parliament's legal advisors, whether we as a committee, and I have, we can determine our own criteria which we want to follow, of course, within the parameters of the legislation. And if we can do it, I would suggest that we as a committee compile our criteria and that we can go forward on that basis. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Honorable Dr. Groenewald. I'm concerned because we did request a legal opinion on the Helen Suzman matter. Could I then, because the senior member did not receive it, there is a legal opinion. So could I request that admin, our secretariat, that you do find the legal opinion, and that if possible, you do put it on the screen. Could you indicate in the meeting chat if you do have that legal opinion? Dr. Groenewald, there is a legal opinion. I request it.
Thank you, Chair, but I didn't receive, I received the legal opinion on what the situation is with the minister's position and whether we can extend the period or the time within which an appointment should be done. But I didn't receive any legal opinion on what the Helen Suzman situation is.
My apologies if you haven't received it. That is why I'm saying it's too late for us to send it now. Could we agree that it be put up on the screen once I've taken the from the other members. So after I've listened to my party, could we have that legal opinion put up on the screen for us? Honorable Sheikh, you may continue, Sheikh Ma.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair, and thank you to the Minister for your presentation. I think, Chair, what we must be very mindful of is do not have an iPad head at the moment. iPad is functioning without the head, and we know the consequences of that. We know the problems that we are experiencing. It is very clear that court, in terms of the judgment, has asked us to go and amend the act. We have not been able to do it timely and justly. And it is very clear, Chair, that this is going to take a period of time before we are able to actually go and amend the act. So the question that arises is, and you know, Chair, sometimes I feel that the courts want to run parliament, and I have a problem with that. Now, while they talk about the amendment and they tell us that we have to do this thing, remember that even if you look at the act is not clear what happens if the minister does not appoint. Now, in the absence of that, should parliament not be able to exercise its right to do what is in the best interest of serving the people in the country? And one of the things that we should look at whether we should, in the meantime, appoint a head while we are busy in the process of trying to amend that act so that we will correct it in court. But if we do not do that, and we don't know how long that process will take to amend the act, it means IPED will continue to function without a head, and it means it is not good, basically, for the various and large amounts of complaints that are coming, and that is why you see IPED is not functioning optimally. So I think, you know, we need to be mindful of that, what is the best interest and what is the intent or purpose of having a head in terms of IPED. I don't want to go into the issues of the nominees and things, but I think right now we are just discussing the issue of whether we believe we have the right to go ahead and not. Now, I know there's legal opinions, and I am sitting here with Alan Sussman's unpublished legal opinion here as well, Jeff. But what it does not take into consideration, what must you do in the interim while you are waiting to process and amend the act? They're not telling you that. And I think that is where Parliament comes in. And I think it's a matter that we need to discuss extensively where we should look into whether we can appoint somebody and accelerate the process of amending the act, and then we know the processes that will be followed. I think I'm actually going to stop there by saying that we must be mindful of the various reasons, the issue of the McBride matter. We must be aware of the fact and mindful of the fact that the minister says they were not able to get through a suitable nominee. But it's clear that the act does not tell you what happens if the minister fails and does not give direction to parliament. So there's a grey area, and based on that, I think we must do what is in the best interest and the intent of why we want an iPad head so that this structure can operate satisfactorily or optimally. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sheikh Iman. Honorable Mofuke.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the Minister's presentation. It's long overdue. Chair, I agree with the Honorable Sheikh Imam, especially when it comes to the amendment of the IPED. That is a process, and we must allow it to go through at a time when we are supposed to do that. The second part is that it doesn't actually, there's a lot of gray areas in it, and it doesn't say much about what the minister will do if then we cannot appoint somebody. We must agree that the IPED has been having a number of challenges. And having those many challenges, we went through as a committee to make sure that there's a research into this matter, starting from where McBride until to the end. Now that we have come to the end, I, for one, am impressed and I'm happy that for the first time, IPED will have a woman who's having over 20 years of experience in the housing community safety, a person who's got a degree in law, and I'm asking myself, what is it that now we want? Because this is the person we are looking for, and it will be for the first time that IPED is going to have a woman. And it will be for the first time that, you know, we need to look at what happened before and where we are now and look at the process of going forward. What worries me is that it looks like there are people that are spokesperson for Corruption Watch and Helen Kidman in the committee, and I have a problem. I have a serious problem about it. What I'm going to agree with Honorable Sheikh Imam is that we should allow the last part, actually it's yourself, Chairperson, that we must look at the Helen Suzman legal opinion. Some of us have seen it, but we should also make sure that we allow our legal person from Parliament to speak, because it's here. We are not talking about somebody who's not there, so that we can be able to go forward. I can tell you on the side of the ANC, we support the name of Jennifer Dikeledi Ntlatseng to be the IP head. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mofoki, Honorable Majozi.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and Honorable Members. I think, Chairperson, on this one, we must not think maybe of the administration and maybe of the portfolio, but prioritize the survival of the IPs. I have seen these legal advices, but at the same time, they are not speaking exactly what is unlawful in the appointment and so forth. So then it puts you in that process. If they were stating that the process that has been undergone by the minister is unlawful, then would then be able to have a clear conclusion on what it is that he wants to do. But it is not clear on the things that should be done. Nonetheless, we can't afford to listen that IPD suffer not having a head. Already IPD is suffering with having the acting executive. So we really need to make that decision. And I like your conclusion, Chairperson, that we do have options. It's not like we don't have options in the committee. The minister presented the process of which it has been long overdue, but nonetheless, let us just see the process unfolding, and if the current nomination of the nominated person is the one, then I don't see us having to argue about it unless there are other things that we are not told about. But I would support that. Let us have an appointment of the executive on IPIC so that then we now know who is reliable and responsible for any action or anything that will be happening on the IPIC. So I think we must give that process a chance and see how it unfolds, and we'll take it from there as the portfolio committee. I concur with Honorable Mofokeng that if this, the candidate is qualified and has experience, then what is holding us back? Who exactly do we want? Because if maybe there were specifics of candidates that gladly wanted to be nominated as the preference, then we should have done that as a committee. But we do not have. Let us just wait for the process to unfold and the appointment goes on. But if we wait for the act to be amended, then another year is going to be the same thing that is going on in the IPIC, that it will also suffer without having ahead on the executive. So I strongly suggest that we continue with the process, and even though it was supposed to be done a long time ago, but let us do it now so that we don't then fall back and say the portfolio committee has not done its job in terms of making sure that the entities that report to them are fully incorporated with the executive. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Madrozi. Honorable Jimbeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you. Greetings to the Minister, Deputy Minister, and Honorable Members. I'm nearly covered by all the Honorable Members who had already spoken, but I'm looking at the position of the committee itself, because now here we've got the law that does not say anything about the appointment of the executive director after the period has lapsed. Because the 12 months has lapsed, but it does not talk about the extension. It does not talk about anything, whether is there any wrongdoing when the period has been extended or whatever. Now, I think, I'm just afraid that the committee, we might find ourselves in the crossfire here between, so as to say, this Helen Suzman Foundations and at the same time the law on the other side, because I did not hear also when the minister has written to the speaker what was the response on the extension. I hear that the letter was written to the speaker about the extension, but I did not hear the response, whether it was to say they can get the extension or it must be decided in the committee. But now we can see that we as the committee, I think we might find ourselves now in the wrong position as to say that we've extended and we don't have the guards or that law that gives us the right to extend the so-called the extension of the period of the appointment of the IPK. Now, that is the problem. That is my position. I'm thinking that the acceleration also of the Amendment Act of the IPK, that can help us. And the acceleration also of the McBride issue, so that we are always on the clear, because now, as I'm saying, that we might find ourselves in the crossfire. There is this McBride issue. There is this amendment of the IP Act. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Kembeni. Honorable Mapatre and the Advocate Ntikela, could you ask the Honorable Mapatre assist us with the legal opinion on the Investment Foundation? Honorable Mapatre?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation by the Minister. It has been long that we have been waiting for this to come to the committee. But if you would remember, Honorable Members, that time and again, we are the ones who have been fighting for the appointment of a permanent executive director of IPIT. And Deputy Minister, whenever he was present in our portfolio committees, he would give us an update, including the Minister, that from their side, they are trying their level best to get a suitable candidate to occupy the position of an executive director. And indeed, they have communicated with the speaker. The speaker responded to the letter from the minister. But my problem is that what Honorable Whitfield is saying here, it's mainly concentrating on the amendment of the Act, which I think the department is in the process of doing that. And I don't think we can wait for the amendment of the act to appoint an IPID. That means we'll have another year without an IPID head. So it can be correct, honorable members. And I want to repeat the words from honorable Mofokeng. We are honorable members here of the Portfolio Committee on Police. We are not representing the Helen Suzman Foundation. You may refer to it if you want to talk about something. But I think it's a matter between the department and the Helen Suzman. And the Helen Suzman issue, it's an issue about renewal of the contract of McBride. McBride's term of office expired. So the minister did not renew it. So if your term has expired, it's the prerogative of the minister whether he or she extends or does not extend that. So he did not extend, and he informed that. So that is why the Helen Suzman is taking the issue to court. It's about the renewal. It doesn't talk about the appointment. The appointment is using it as a blackmail, that if you appoint before we finalize the issue of the renewal, which for me, I'm not a legal person, but I don't see whether it will make any change, whether we have appointed or not. It deals about the renewal. And the minister was very clear that, no, I'm not going to renew. I'm not renewing. And for me, it's very new that if your contract, you sign a contract, it's for 5 years. And for 5 years, your contract expires, and I say I don't renew it. Now you go to court to force the court to renew your contract. It does not work like that. It's wrong for the Helen Suzman Foundation to do that. Then let's go to the issue of the legal advice. The Act, I want to agree with most of the honorable members. The Act is very clear on Section 6, subsection 5, which it says it is silent on what must happen in the event that the minister fails to fill the vacancy within the prescribed period. So it's silent. So the minister must also be silent. So all of us must be silent. Then the IPID does not have the head. Work must be done. So it is the duty of the, if there are people who want to go to court, to go and argue that thing. But the amendment of the Act, it does not speak only about the IPID head. It's broad, speaks about many things. And I'm very worried that if we don't rush these things, we will see things that happened in Western Cape, where the Metro Police, you know, they undermine our people. They evict a person. Even when the regulations have been very clear that no evictions during this COVID time. But the Western Cape, because it is a federal state, it is on its own, it can do as it wishes, it even undermines the person who is inside. You know, just that dignity of our people, it shows that they don't respect that dignity of our people. That is why they are fighting very strong that we must amend the act. We want the IPT head now so that he must be able to deal with those Metropolis people who undermine the dignity of our people. And as the ANC, we cannot allow that. We have dealt with the police, the South African policemen
of order,
who acted outside the rules of the police. And you, the DA, you have been happy. And time and again, when the IP presents, you want to know about the
honorable Mama.
I want to conclude, honorable person, that if the act is not clear on what the minister must do in the event that the time has lapsed, it's silent. So I would propose that we can't wait for another 1 year without having the act and with a competent lady who's going to lead this IPT, the IPT, that I support that we move ahead, we appoint the head. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mapatu. I allowed you to complete, but there was a point of order from Honorable Whitfield. Honorable Whitfield, I'll take your point of order.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, it's unfortunate that honorable members are now politicizing the issue when all other members have stuck to the facts of law and the advices that have been provided to the committee. The Western Cape is the only province with a police ombudsman. There are oversight bodies in place. And let me be very clear that land grabs are a problem in every province, and they are being enforced in every province where law enforcement is removing people who are illegally occupying land. So I think that we are...
Members, I'm going to call you all to order. I indicated to you that the Western Cape will be called to the committee to answer for what happened. The next meeting will invite the Western Cape, the City of Cape Town Mayor, the MEC for safety, to the committee meeting where this matter will be dealt. Could I please request all members now to continue focusing on the appointment of the IPT? We stated that the act was silent on the matter of the Metro Police and the City Police, as well as traffic officers. When we do amend the act, it will be a complete amendment and not just an amendment on the appointment of the executive director. So we have agreed, fundamentally we've agreed, that we require an overall amendment of the IPAC Act. Could I now receive an opinion from Advocate Ella on Helen Suzman's letter and what they recommend we should do? Advocate Ella?
Good morning, Chair and members of the committee. Chair, can I deal with this in this fashion? Where you are at the moment, Chair, you are dealing with this matter in terms of Section 61 and 2 of the IPED Act. These sections say the minister must nominate a candidate to fill the position of the executive director. And that nomination by the minister must come to the committee for confirmation or rejection. And in law, this is a very simple and straightforward provision. What seems to complicate the decision that you have to make now is the fact that for the minister to nominate, there must have been a vacancy. And that vacancy, in terms of the law, should have been filled within a period of 12 months. Now, instead of the committee dealing with Section 61 and 2, which deals with nomination and confirmation. We have to deal with the issue of non-compliance with the provision that it must be done within 12 months. Now, as we said in our previous opinion, that the law as it stands is silent on what must happen should there be a non-compliance with that provision. But what we also suggested to the committee was that the fact that there may have been a non-compliance does not take the power to nominate and for the committee to appoint away. How the committee deals with that non-compliance, in our view, is through the normal oversight processes. The minister must appear before the committee, and it seems he has done so, explain why he has not been able to do so within the prescribed period. And the committee must deliberate on that non-compliance. It must make its report available to the House, and the House makes the decision. That is the oversight process. But nowhere in our opinion do we suggest that the fact that there has been a non-compliance, it means the process cannot proceed. And I think we should make that clear. Chair, I want to now proceed to the issue of the Helen Suzman Foundation, and I want to take the committee back to how we got to this position. The term of Mr. McBride came to an end, was scheduled to come to an end on the 28th of February. In January, if my memory serves me well, he received a letter from the minister informing him that the minister has no intention of extending. Mr. McBride objected to that decision and wrote to Parliament and wrote to the minister and said the power to renew lies with the committee. And therefore, when he went to the High Court in Pretoria, he sought to enforce the provisions of Section 6 in as far as they relate to renewal. Before the matter could go before a hearing, all parties that were involved came to an agreement. By all parties now, I mean Mr. McBride, the minister, and portfolio committee, came to a conclusion that, an agreement that, indeed, the matter has now been referred to the portfolio committee or to Parliament for a decision. And that Parliament must make its decision by the 22nd of February in 2019. Parliament committed itself to do that before that date, and it did exactly that. It made a decision about the renewal or non-renewal of the contract, and it decided not to renew. That was the basis of the settlement. What Parliament did was what was agreed by the parties before the court, and that agreement was made an order of court. Of course, Helen Suzman Foundation had difficulty with that settlement. And they appealed that settlement order that was issued by the court. And they failed in the Pretoria High Court. And they have now taken that issue to the Supreme Court of Appeal. That is the matter that is pending before the Supreme Court of Appeal. But I want to emphasize again, and you will see in the draft reply that we have prepared for the committee in response to the Helen Suzman Foundation, we seek in the letter to draw a distinction between the issues that are a subject of the appeal before the FCA and the issue that the committee now is called upon to decide. What is before the FCA, in our view, is the issue of the non-renewal, whether Parliament should have played any role in the renewal or non-renewal of the ED's previous term. In our view, that decision was made subsequent to a court order, and that decision by Parliament is not under review in the Supreme Court of Appeal. So there was a vacancy that occurred on the 28th of February. That's why there has been an acting ED for all this period. That's why there is a new nomination now, which must be confirmed by the Portfolio Committee of Parliament. So in our view, those are two separate matters. Whether Parliament should have been involved does not mean there is no vacancy, because the vacancy occurred on the 28th of February. So So these are the two things that we seek to separate, that in as much as we are aware of what of the appeal that is pending, but that appeal is on a different matter. It is not on the power of the minister to nominate, because that section is not being challenged. The power of parliament to confirm or not to confirm is not under consideration by the SAA. It is the interpretation by the Helen Suzman, based on the previous judgment, that is a subject of interpretation between the Supreme Court of Appeal. What I must say, though, Chair, is that in law there is a principle that you can't read subsection 1 in isolation from subsection 3 and subsection 6. An entire provision must be read as in a manner that will give harmony to it. And I think that's the challenge we are facing with all of this. Although there is clear what the minister needs to do and what the portfolio committee must do, but that must be done in the context of a vacancy that has occurred and how that vacancy occurred. And I think now everything is being brought together to suggest that the committee should not do anything. And I think these are the issues that the committee must consider. And I'm deliberately limiting myself to the legal issues as they appear in Section 6. There are a lot of policy issues that have been raised, which I think those are matters that are perfectly within the domain of the committee to consider, but for, not for me as a legal advisor to pronounce on. But where we are, Section 6.1 and 6.2 says there must be a nomination, and that nomination must be confirmed or rejected by the committee. And I think that's what is the issue. But unfortunately, you can't separate that from the vacancy that appeared, which was supposed to have been filled within a particular period. You can't separate that from the issue of non-renewal, because now they all come together and they create the difficulties that you face. But in law, these are three separate processes that are provided for in different provisions of that clause. And Chair, I will leave it at that. That's why we provided you with what was a purely legal response to what Helen Suzman was saying, that these matters are separate. Parliament has a constitutional obligation and has a statutory obligation to fill this vacancy. And it has every intention of doing so, and that's the process it will undertake. That was a legal response. But it does not say there are policy considerations that the committee can sit and consider amongst itself and make a decision on. And you have all the power to do. You have the power to reject what has been put before you with your own risk. But those are matters that legal advisors cannot pronounce on. Thank you very much, Chair.
Members, we have had legal opinions, I sought legal advice on each and every matter as we have dealt with the appointment of the executive director. We have now heard from Advocate Stella that we may, and I'm convinced that we may proceed, that we may either approve or reject the nomination from the minister, and unless otherwise, I'm convinced that the legal opinion allows us to do so. I've noted the hand of Honorable Faku, and if you have any other hands, I haven't seen other hands on my screen, please indicate if you'd like to speak now. I'll take Honorable Faku, and then we will continue with the process of listening to the people of the advocate. Honorable Faku, and then you can indicate on the screen like to speak, would you like to speak again? Honorable Whitfield, you also have to tell me how many times you want to speak, because there are a number of people who would like to speak. Honorable Faku, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to yourself and to honorable members, minister, deputy minister, and all guests present. Thank you, Chair. I think it's important, Chair, that we supported the nomination by the minister, because as a committee, the minister has been honest and the deputy minister to come and present to us all the challenges they have to appoint the IPED head. And I think legal now has really clarified us on the issue of non-compliance, because the issue of non-compliance is the 12-month period, which there's evidence that the opening remarks, he was stating that there was a period that they shortlisted, but they did not find a suitable candidate, and again they appointed an external consultant to appoint. So, at least for non-compliance, there's an explanation, there's a paper trail, and I think as a committee we've been consistent to say that give us, show us if there's something that is happening in appointing the IPT head, which I think he has done. So there's no way we cannot appoint it, because now I'm really comfortable on the non-compliance part, because although it's non-compliance, but there's a committee we're aware. And then the minister now is nominating a person. This is brought to the committee, and I think it's important, Chair, where the challenges that IPET has, let us support the appointment of the IPET head. There's nothing wrong as a committee, it's because even the Act is making other issues, so there's no gap, Chair. Let us support and support this. And I think, Chairperson, we need not to delay this matter. We need to appoint what the challenge is, because as Honorable Majosis Jackie has stated, that we must not miss this. Even the Helen Suzman Foundation, it's about the amendment. That, as a committee, we can consider at a later stage, but it must not delay the appointment of Acting Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Members. I've noted Honorable Whitfield, and then Honorable Mofokeng, and then after that, we'll discuss whether we approve or reject the appointment of the ICP. Thank you very much, Honorable Whitfield and then Honorable Mofokeng.
Sorry, Chair. Kurunabal speaking here. I've got my hand up. It's on the PJG.
Okay, Honorable.
I've raised my hand long ago.
Honorable Kurunabal. And
thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to draw the committee's attention back to the letter from the Speaker. And if you'll indulge me, I just want to read that again. The Speaker's letter said the wording of the particular provision, which is 6.5 of the IFED Act, is very specific and does not allow for any extension to be granted, even by Parliament. That the vacancy remains unfilled since becoming vacant in February 2019, is on the face of it a breach of the Act. Chairperson, the Minister is in breach of the Act and the committee is not doing anything about it. The best way to hold the Minister accountable, which is the duty of this committee, is to suspend this process, conclude the complete amendment of the Act, as you've so eloquently stated, which I fully support, correct the inconsistencies, treat it as a priority, and then proceed with a nomination process to appoint a permanent head of IPED. I do not believe this will bring stability to IPED. It will remain a dark cloud of controversy hanging over our police watchdog, which is not going to help us to fulfill our oversight functions of the police in South Africa. Chairperson, we do not support, or I do not support, the nomination of the Minister, and I would encourage the committee to follow suit. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Whitfield. Honourable Members, we have received the legal opinion. We have had Advocate Kela give us a thorough briefing on the appointment. I do believe that we can continue. I'm listening to Honourable Mofokeng Kurnaval. I'll start with Mofokeng and then Kurnaval.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks. Chairperson, I will go straight to the last part of the letter from the attorneys of Helen Suzman. It says that should the committee proceed to deliberate and reach a decision on the minister's nomination, the Helen Suzman Foundation reserves its right in respect of the legal remedies which are available to it, including the right to take appropriate remedial action. Therefore, we have a right to continue to choose whoever we want, and they can take their action wherever they want. That is what we should do. Because, Chair, I can tell you now, the members of the DA or the members that are against this appointment, they were not honest with us in the committee when now and then we were saying to the minister, you need to appoint the head of IP with the challenges that we are heading. It passive. These members that are actually against this appointment, they are happy to see all the things that are happening in the IP. They will tell us about the Cape Town, Western Cape. Western Cape is not better. It's not better, and it's also having challenges, unless they don't want the IP to be zooming into whatever is happening in Western Cape. And for Honorable Whitfield, we are not politicizing this. They are politicizing this before. Every now and then, they will tell us about the Helen Suzman and then also the Corruption Watch. Are they spokesperson for these people? Honorable members, we are not going to be fooled. We need a person to be in charge. And this time, it's a woman and will lead us. I support. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mofoke, Honorable Groenewald, and the Speaker, and then Chief Mark. Groenewald?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Chair, in law, they always refer to two situations. They talk about the de jure situation and the de facto situation. Now, it means actually what is the technical issue and what is the practical situation, what happens in practice. Now, firstly, I want to say that I think the legal opinion on the Helen Suzman Foundation is correct. I had my doubts whether they will succeed, but it's not for me to make that decision. The fact of the matter is, Chair, that the de jure situation we are confronted with is that there was a breach of an act. Now, the question is, what are we going to do in practice? Firstly, I want to say that, and it was mentioned by the legal advisor, that this committee should take a decision, which I will support and which I will propose, that we get a comprehensive report from the Honorable Minister for the reasons why we had this delay and why there was a breach of the Act. Chairperson, we as Portfolio Committee of Police have an obligation of oversight. And if we do not receive such comprehensive report, then we are actually failing the people of South Africa, and we are failing to ensure that we do our work. So that we should do. I said it when I spoke the first time, that yes, we can still continue amending the Act, because I think there are certain problems there. And I will also support that we start on the process of amending the IPED Act again, a further amendment. That doesn't mean that we cannot appoint a new executive director. Having said that, Chairperson, I also want to say that I will not support this nomination, because I am of the opinion that the Portfolio Committee should determine its own criteria. And, I mean, I didn't even see the person. One criteria, for instance, for the committee should have been that the person appears in front of the committee where we can question the candidates. And a good example is, for instance, if people are nominated for the board for the SABC, then they are interviewed by the Portfolio Committee in Parliament. And we should have a similar process in the Portfolio Committee of Police. My last point, Chairperson, we must ask ourselves, why did we have the previous court cases? Why did the court instructed Parliament to amend the IPED Act? It is because that they feel and the court confirmed that there should be proper oversight from Parliament in the appointment of the director, the executive director. And the reason is that there should not be politically manipulation from the Honorable Minister on the executive. That is why we had the situation. And I am of the opinion, Chairperson, yes, and now coming back to the de jure and the de facto. De jure, technically, yes, the committee is now going to take a decision. We know that the ANC has got the majority, and it's going to be a political decision, not a merit decision. And I have really a problem with that, Chair, that we did not have a proper process for the criteria and the application, therefore, on the specific candidate. And on those matters, Chairperson, I will also not support the nomination of this specific candidate. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. If I could give direction. One, we are all in agreement that the IFAC Act is completely and fully amended. So could we all agree that the committee is in agreement, there's an unanimous agreement that the IFAC Act should be amended. Two, we've also understood and clearly accepted that the committee needs a comprehensive report on why and on why we have had the delay. The honourable members and honourable minister, we expect a comprehensive report for the reason for the delay to be given to us in our next meeting, so that we have a clear understanding why there was a breach of law. That's the second matter. Third matter. We are in agreement that the appointment or the rejection of the IFAC Act can be discussed. All honourable members, if we continue the next, I'm going to rule you out of order if we do not discuss this. We are now discussing whether we approve or reject the current proposed nomination by the minister. Honourable members, if we do discuss criteria after there has already been a nomination, we need to ask ourselves, this would be fair upon the existing process. There has been an existing process. We cannot reverse that process. Could I please understand, we adopt new criteria, how that would affect the current candidates which have been proposed. Honourable Peacock, could you please specify and focus now on whether we approve or reject the proposed nominee? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to all, to the Minister as well as the Deputy Minister and the members of the Portfolio Committee. Mine to you is that we support the appointment we support the appointment of the IPIC head. And Chairperson, one thing that really worries me is that why is there so many fault findings now, since we have to finalize what the very same Honorable Groenewald and Wetfield have been complaining about, that the position is not being filled. Now today we are playing the role that we are expected to do and to appoint. Now there are fault findings with regards to the minister. And as I remember, the minister has always been honest with us, explaining to us even processes, why couldn't they be able to appoint? So even the report that is needed, it's just to find fault, Chairperson. What we need to do is a something, and the decision that we have to take as members of the Portfolio Committee is to agree with regard to the recommendation made by the minister. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheikh Imam.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Chair, you know, I think earlier on I gave you a brief sonnet on my views in terms of this, so I don't really want to go into that. I'm quite satisfied that we do have the authority to be able to make the appointment once the minister to appoint and pass to finalize it. So I'm quite satisfied in terms of that. There is no way that we say we do not have the power to do that. Right? You know, so looking at the candidate before us here, I've gone through the entire CV and I've looked into it. I've done some research into it. I've done some Googling and I've done a whole lot of things. And I see that the candidate before us, first of all, has the necessary qualifications. She has the necessary experience. She started with humble beginnings. She grew into the South African Police Services. She's acquired an extensive knowledge. She's been able to manage. And one of the things that we always have a problem with, and that is budgeting and financial challenges when you have heads of departments. And again, this candidate, in my view, has even got experience in terms of that. She's been managing and budgeting and doing everything else in terms of that. She has also been in conflict resolution, which, you know, quite often we get that with most officers complaining about others for other reasons and whatever it is. So, you know, I'm quite satisfied that the candidate before us has the necessary qualification, the expertise, and the experience to be able to pull this position. Very importantly, we do not have a head, and we know the consequences of that. We know what is happening with ICID as a result of not having a head. For a long period of time, we have been shouting and screaming about ICID not having a head. And I don't think it's going to prejudice anybody if we appoint a particular candidate right now and then amend the act accordingly, and then, of course, we follow through and we process once the amendment is there. So, from the National Freedom Party point of view, we are quite satisfied as a member of this portfolio committee that the minister, as with current regulations, has the power to nominate and appoint for us to actually verify, satisfy, and we can either support it or reject it. And from my point of view, I'll be supporting this nomination to appoint this candidate, Jennifer Dikeledi Lateng, that's the pronunciation correct, to be the ICID head, and then we will have an issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Do I have a further hand? The proposal is that Ms. Jennifer Lateng be appointed as the ICID.
Yes, ma'am.
No.
Yes, Chair.
Yes, ma'am. Honorable Mapatswa.
Chair.
No. No, Chairperson.
Honorable members, could I take your name? I'll start with Honorable De Blanche.
Mapatswa, please.
Chairperson, no. I don't support that. The candidate has got no experience regarding investigations, and that is the most important part of IPED's job, so I don't support it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Whitfield has already indicated he's not in support. Honorable Groenewald has indicated he's not in support. Honorable Mapatswa.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, you know, we sometimes take a situation where we undermine the quality of women that we have in our country. And if people do not have confidence in a woman who has spent time studying and working on some of these things, and we come to the committee and say, we don't want this woman, what kind of a country are we? So we as the ANC, we support the emancipation of women and the empowerment of women, because they are the same like us, and if they have the qualifications, they meet the requirements, we must support them. But I'm really surprised, Chair, that we are requesting a report. And it is written down that we are the same committee that has been pushing the minister that he must come with an appointment. I remember the last meeting, it was the deputy minister present.
We even said, look, 3 months at least, the minister, bring the candidate. All of us, we agreed. We never raised Helen Sussman, we never raised anything. Now that the candidate is here, the minister's brought the candidate for adoption, we are saying we're politicizing. We will politicize the things if they politicize them. Thank you. I support the candidate.
Honorable Chair, point of order. Chairperson, point of order. Chairperson, it is not acceptable that the honorable member now come forward and say that people objecting to the nomination that we are against women. The gender, from my point of view, has got nothing to do with the matter. I objectively said to the committee what my opinion is, and I do object for the honorable person to come and say that we have problems because it's women. It's totally unacceptable and he should withdraw that. Thank you.
Honorable Mapate, can you withdraw, please?
Chair, maybe I did not understood Honorable Tara Blanche. What was what did he say? I was referring to Honorable Tara Blanche, not to Honorable Groenewald. So I think Honorable Tara Blanche did mention something like that.
Honorable members, could I have order in my meeting, please? Honorable Tara Blanche says she does not have an investigatory
Exactly. Thank you.
Not saying that she should not be appointed before she is. This committee has, in the past, we have expressed ourselves on the matter of gender equity and our appreciation for the fact that there should be gender representation in the committee. So could I rule you all out of order and could we not continue our discussing the candidate, whether we approve the candidate or not? As for now, we have most of the members approving the candidate. I'll hand over to Honorable Mofokeng.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I said it before that I'm for the candidate, that is Jennifer Dikeledi Ntlaseng, to be the executive director for IPIT. And I'm saying that we are appointing somebody with qualifications that are correct and also a person who's got experience. And I hope that we are going to give her support. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mofokeng. Do we have any other members in class? Honorable Speaker?
Chairperson
Jimmy and then Madozi. Speaker?
Chairperson, I'm in support of the name of Jennifer Dikeledi Ntlaseng as proposed by the minister, or by the minister as well as the committee that actually was responsible with the task that they did, and we appreciate even the task that they took. And Chairperson, this notion, I'm really going to emphasize on it, this notion that it should be condemned when a woman should always be appointed into a such senior position, there's always the issue of experience relating to whatever is now an issue of investigative report. Tell me, who is everyone that is born with experience? So we support that and we know that you do her best in the position.
Thank you. Honorable Shembeni, and then Majozi, and then we conclude.
Chair, note me.
Waku.
I hope you did not forget Shembeni.
Shembeni. Honorable Shembeni, you are next. Honorable Shembeni, you are next.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I've said, I'm not against the appointment of the IPIT executive. The only thing that I'm totally against is the politicizing of this thing. We must always make sure that we don't politicize the appointment of the IPIT executive so as to make it function the way we want it to function. The appointment of a woman is very much important. We applaud that. It's a very good thing. But let politics not be involved in this thing. This is not that this is ANC man, what. No. We must appoint a person who's qualified to do the job for this nation. So the issue of politics around this, I think it must come to an end. We must appoint, and then the committee, I want to see the involvement of the committee when the appointments or the interviews are being done, so that we must not receive nominations when they are done, so that we are presented by a person that this is the person. I think that if the committee becomes part of this interview, even if we sit and look at what is happening, I think that can help us. Because now the person is being presented to us. It's a qualified person, yes. But politics, I don't see them, the politics helping us in this thing. Politics must stay away from appointing executives, especially of IPIT. We don't want a certain political party to take part in appointing so as to make cover-ups. Because if we allow politics to be involved in this thing, it means now the IPIT also will be under siege. It will be controlled by somebody, of which that's not what we want. Thank you.
Honourable members, we already...
Honourable Chair,
I've listened to all the points of order. I'll listen to you now.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm done. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we've heard you. Honourable members, we agree that there is no way in which we can politicize the appointment of the IPIT. This position is too important for us to have a cloud hanging over the appointment. When this person is appointed, it will be an appointee of the committee. Whether certain members agree or disagree, the final decision will be taken by the committee. We have agreed as well that you focus, Honorable Shembeni, that you do not politicize the matter and that you focus on the candidate. Yes, when we amend the Act, we have to look at the process of appointment and the committee become part of the ECB panel or that the candidate be interviewed by the committee. The current Act does not allow for this or does not expect that. I'm going to allow a point of order with Honorable Groenewald and then Honorable Faku will be the last speaker. Honorable Groenewald?
Thank you, Chairperson, bearing with me. I think it is important to be noted on this time on what the Honorable Peacock has said on the investigative abilities. I think it is important that we put on record that 6 potential candidates were rejected solely on one aspect, and that was that they had no investigative experience. And those were the reasons for non-recommendation. So 6 of them, good candidates with good qualifications, and now we appoint someone who also does not have investigative experience. I think we must just put that on record. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Groenewald. We've made that comment. Honorable Faku, and then we'll conclude.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chairperson, it is important that we move and approve the IPIT head, because I think now honorable members are coming up with all sorts of issues. Now, we are questioning the process, which we suppose not to question the process at this time. The advert was out, and we believe that the panel that was appointed had a suitable information of what is required. And what Minister has presented to us, it qualifies the appointment of the IPK. First, we're complaining about the process and legal claim and legal explain. Now, Honorable Terry Blanche and Groeneveld, they're talking about other issues, which I think at this point, those issues are not relevant. I think it's important, Chair, that as a committee, whatever we discuss, we are consistent. And I fully agree with you when you say that we must not politicize issues. I think with what is presented before us as a committee, all the necessary steps have been captured. Let us approve the IPK. Let the Helen Suzman Foundation go ahead with the process it's within their own rights. As a committee, we're exercising our rights as prescribed by the Act. So I think also the issue of non-compliance was taken into consideration. But if there are mitigating factors, which the minister has come to the committee and explained those factors, why was the IPK not appointed within the 12 months? So I propose, Chair, that we close this manner, this meeting, because majority of us agree on the approach and other issues will deal with them at a later stage. And we want to appreciate the minister for actually looking into women. We know that in our country, sometimes women are taken aside, men, especially in the sector, in the security sector. Most of the time, men are more better than women, so we appreciate that as a committee. But what is important is that she qualifies, she has the experience and everything that entails, not just because she's a woman. Thank you.
I've allowed all members really good opportunity. I did not limit you to time. I did not limit you to a particular perspective. And I do think that we have come to the conclusion and that we strongly support the candidate which has been proposed by the minister. The committee therefore accepts that Ms. Jennifer Ikaledi Klassen be appointed as the executive director of ICANN. We are convinced that this is a robust process and that we have ensured that we've appointed an individual which has the necessary qualifications for this position. I would like to accept that the candidate demonstrates an in-depth knowledge of the criminal justice system based on the documents which I've read. We can thus also say that the candidate that we are supporting was interviewed. The panel nominated her as the best candidate. They nominated her as a candidate who understood the work of IPED. We'd like to support that. Honorable members, I think we've had a vigorous discussion on our oversight role. It is incumbent on us as a committee to ensure that the IPED Act is amended. We have looked at the profiles of the candidates who have been interviewed. The process has been transparent. I'm happy that we have had all legal opinions and that we have had such a vigorous process. I would have been extremely disappointed if the committee simply rubber-stamped the nominee from the minister. Honourable members, there's in no way have we simply rubber stamped the candidate or the nominee. We have really gone through a thorough process, and I'm happy that we have spent so much time on looking at the legal opinions, looking at the processes. Yes, the processes will be flawed, but in the amendment of the Act, we'll ensure that these processes are tightened up. Honourable Minister, we do not need to give you a further opportunity to speak unless you feel that it is totally necessary. The committee has the final say in this matter. So as the final arbiter in this matter, the committee approves the candidate as nominated by the Minister. Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, just one thing. I have received the report on the security, which is initial, that said no illicit activity identified under the name of the candidate. So, but the vetting will come, but this is what we have just received as you're seated here. Thank you very much.
Honorable Minister, that is a very important addition. That was in fact what I was going to conclude, to say that the process of vetting should be concluded. We want the to know that the candidate has no skeletons in the closet that we will discover later, and that she has passed the vetting process. We then would like a thorough report on that when we do once the vetting has been concluded. Honourable members, that concludes the business on the appointment of the IPID head. The committee has approved that Ms. Jennifer Tikaledi Glaseng be appointed as the Executive Director of IPID. Honourable Minister, you may be excused. We will continue now addressing the adoption of the report of the adjustment budget.
Thank you very much.
You may be excused.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Minister.
Very much, everybody. Thank you very much.
The Minister must touch his now to say in
what did I say?
I'll tell you next time, but please
That is the practice. Anyway, we're working, and I'll be mentioning the name every day, so I'll have to perfect myself on it. Thanks.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honourable members, that does not conclude the business of today. We'll now continue with the report, the recommendations of the report. I'll take the SAPS report. The administration, could you please display the SAPS report on our screen? The consideration of the adoption of the committee report. I'll start with the SAPS report. Dr. Kenneth, you have the SAPS report, please.
Yes, Chair, I'm just trying to find the report. I think that's the wrong report. Let me just find the correct one. Sorry, Chair. I hope members can see the report, Chair.
Yes.
This is the SAPS report.
Yes. Correct report, you may start. Page 1. Honourable members, the draft report, Portfolio Committee on Police, on the adjusted budget for 2008, South African Police Services is presented to you. The draft report is presented to you. Page 1, do you have any comments that you wish to make? Amendments? Honourable members? Page 2, honourable members, are you still there?
Yes, Chairperson, we are here.
Yes.
Two. Dr. Kenneth, could you go to page 2, please? Dr. Kenneth, your screen is frozen.
Chair, I think Babalwa has access to the screen, so she just have to move it down. Thanks.
Babalwa?
Chair, I think all of us have got documents with us here.
Yes.
Hello, Chair.
Honourable members, the meeting is a live meeting, so we have to do that for the sake of the public.
Chair, can I ask Dr. Kina to remove the report on the screen?
Dr. Kina,
It's SAPS report, Chair. Can he remove it from on the screen?
Yes,
Can he remove it on the screen, Chair?
Is that better, Chair?
Yes. Babawa,
place your Chair.
Yes.
Okay.
Babawa, I'm waiting for you. Honourable members, we have to do this for the sake of the public. This is a live recording. Are you ready now?
Yes, Chief. I'm ready.
Yes.
Both of you, could we continue? We have approved this. Honourable members, we do not seem to have any substantial. All right, any amendments coming? Next. Any amendments or comments? Page 2. Next. Correction. Page 3. Any correction? Page 4. Program 5.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Chair, I think I did communicate with Dr. Kinnis. In the paragraph under costs of personal protection equipment, the last sentence says the committee in raising this matter was concerned that corrupt practices were not present in the supply of such PPE. I don't fully understand why we would say that corrupt practices were not present. Perhaps that was a mistake, or perhaps I've misread it. If we could just get an explanation and perhaps a correction.
If I may, Chair, yes, we've noted that from Mr. Whitfield and his subsequent amendment. We will include that in the report. That was an error on our part, Chair, so we accept that. Thank you.
Could you correct it, please?
Sorry, Chair.
Yes.
Chair, we also asked them to give us an undertaking. We also asked them to give us an undertaking that they were going to send us this comprehensive report on that PPEs and things, Chair.
Agreed. Could we please ensure that that report is given to us? Dr. Kinnis, could we ensure that I write a letter to that?
Chairperson, if you look on page 11, the first...
Page 11?
And make it available to the committee. Let me read it that, Chair, on page 11. The first recommendation is that the committee recommends the SAPS provide a breakdown of personal protection equipment. So we have put it into the report. Thanks, Chair.
All right. Point one, the committee recommends that SAPS provide a breakdown of personal protection equipment. Two, the committee recommends that SAPS provide an alternative plan for the building of police stations. Three, that SAPS revises all its targets for gender-based violence and increases it to reflect the priority in line with the president's priorities. Four, provides details how the processing time for new firearm applications can change from 90 to 120 days. Committee recommends that SAPS provide a plan to ensure that detective service program achieves its targets despite the shortfall. That SAPS finalizes an MOU with CETA, and seven, finally, that SAPS monitors the health of SAPS members with a view to reducing the spread of COVID-19. The portfolio committee on police, having considered the adjusted budget, recommends approval. The report is considered. Do I have a proposal for adoption?
Chair, before the proposal, can we go to page 9, please?
Page 9.
page 9. Could I go back to page 9, please? Page 9, that's page 2.
I think the top piece is on crime intelligence.
Yes, could we have page 9? On crime intelligence?
Yes, I think that it starts with crime intelligence. I don't see the top of it.
Could you scroll down, please?
I'll scroll down a little bit.
Go up.
Okay, it's okay. It says that the committee noted that the crime intelligence was not cut. I think it should be the crime intelligence budget. You can't not say just start with the crime intelligence was not cut. The crime intelligence budget. That's where I think it should be. But in that, thank you very much. And I move for the adoption of the report with amendments.
The report is a proposal for the adoption of the report with amendments. Do I have a seconder?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you, Mom. Second.
Thank you.
Chair. Report, please.
Chair.
I have a hand. I don't see a hand in the. Please, could you indicate if there is another person who'd like to speak?
Yes, Whitfield, Chair.
Whitfield?
Just to say the DA reserves its rights on the report before it's tabled in the House. Thank you.
You may. Thank you very much. Honourable members, will do the civilian secretariat. Dr. Pinnis and Babawa, are you ready?
Okay, I think Babawa was just trying to find the report, but I'll see if I can share. Thanks.
The civilian secretariat report is before you, page 1. Go to page 2. Thank you. Page 3. Honourable members, do you have any concerns? Page 4.
Chair, you can see it. We can't see it. I can't see it where I am.
Dr. Kinnis and Babawa, you are just organizing us today.
But I can see it.
Honorable Mofok and the other members are able to see it.
It's okay, Chair. I'll have to go through my document. It's okay. I can. Oh, it was there, and now it's actually was removed again.
Right. Page 5. Next. Page 6. Any comments? Corrections? Page 6. The recommendations are put to the House. Recommendations. Do you accept the recommendations? Honourable members, the report is put to the committee, portfolio committee. As it considered about 21, the Civilian Secretariat for Police Services. The report is considered. Do I have a proposal for adoption?
I propose, Chair, for adoption.
A proposal.
I second, Chair.
Seconded by Peacock. Dr. Phillips then goes to the budget on access.
We'll set up the iPad report, Chief. Thanks.
Thank you.
is one. Do you have any comments, corrections, page two? Do we have any corrections, page three? Page four? Responses, page five. The recommendations, next. Do we have any corrections here? None, if none, do we have the next page, please?
Chairperson, on recommendations.
Yes.
I think we said that, I think it was noted before, on the committee question, the IPT about the spending on PPEs and especially hand sanitizers and whatever, the recommendation was that they should come and present to us the detailed report on that.
Agreed.
Yes, no, that we will capture it like that. Thank you very much.
Captured. The report is placed before the committee with amendments. Do I have a proposal for adoption?
Chairperson.
Chairperson,
I just want to place it on record that during the presentation, I was unable to participate and I did report it to the chairperson back then due to a terrible noise. I couldn't follow anything, so I wasn't part of this. So I just want to put that on record, chairperson.
Would that please be recorded? Would it also be chairperson had to leave? And that Mapatsa chairs the meeting.
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the report with amendments.
For adoption with amendments, Mofokeng. Do I have a seconder?
Thank you, Mom. Thank you.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you. I second the adoption of the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. That brings us to end of the business of today. Congratulations to the appointment of the IPTHEAD and congratulations for the adoption of our report.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you, Mapatsa. Thank you very much.